The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back. It is another edition of No Bets Bar. This time, UFC Vegas 72. We're back at the Apex again. Ricky Simone, Song Yadong, good main event. We'll find some fights to bet on beyond that. Jed, how are we feeling, man?
How could you not be feeling great when you just pull up the old Wikipedia, the old Tapology, and you take a gander and you say, This is an Apex card, my friend. Of all the Apex cards out there, this sure is one of them.
This is what the venue was created for.
Really is. I will say, we just got word in the last like hour or two that we've had another fight fall off the card. Natan Levy and Pete Rodriguez is being pushed back. So as it stands right now, I mean, it's still several days away. It's only 11 fights, so...
A fight that I was actually looking forward to in Pete Rodriguez and Natan Levy.
Yeah, this card is whatever. I'm happy to lose them because if we can, I mean, you usually lose at least one more on fight week. So we might be down to a tidy 10, just a very quick event to get in, get out.
Yeah.
And go about our day, our weekends for BKFC.
BKFC head into a pay-per-view week, a Canelo Alvarez fight week, one championship. First show in the States. DJ is back. Keep that in mind. Just keep all those things in mind that I just said before you place any wagers this week. You don't gotta get it all this week. It's a marathon, not a sprint, which is a perfect segue to how last week went.
betting. What a professional.
I mean, they pay me the big bucks for a reason. How was the marathon, my friend? I saw we finished.
So we did and we didn't. The marathon did not happen. We had to make day audible into half.
What? By you or by the planners?
By me. There were... Okay. We suffered some setbacks in the week leading up to it. And there were parts when I didn't think I was going to finish the half. An unfortunate foot injury really made it very difficult. And so... The day before, I was like, I don't think I physically can make 26 happen. I'm not even sure I can do the 13. I kept my marathon bib, so I was like, all right, we'll go. And when it comes to break off, we'll see how I'm feeling. And I was already on the struggle bus at like mile 6 or whatever it broke off. So I just did the half. We did finish, you know, in a time that I can at least live with, considering that I've been limping around for the last 4 days since then. But on to the next one, you know?
That is unfortunate. I saw you posted a picture in the morning, and I'm not going to lie, I was like, wow, he must have been cooking on that marathon. He must have got that done quick. Well, what was the time for the half?
Time for the half was 2:30, something like that.
Oh, that's great.
Right there. So
I mean, you finished. That's
finished, and I'm fine being under the 2:30 mark. Given,
are you
going
to go back to the marathon? Well, are you going to try and do the marathon again?
Oh, okay. The marathon's going to happen. We're going to. I'm taking a full week of doing nothing this week. Try and get my body to be a little bit better. Because I don't really know what happened. Like my body just sort of started really shit in the bed. Frankly, the week before.
Sometimes it does, man. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. So the foot was killing me, and then that led to my ankles and knees overcompensating, and just my entire lower body being in trash form. So we're gonna heal up, and then we're gonna find the next one to target.
Now it's like you got to feel what it's like for a fighter to go through like a full camp, and then week of have to pull out of a fight due to an injury.
Almost exactly the same. That's
you got
that's
a little taste.
Exactly.
Of it.
I now know the life. But we're going to get back on the horse. Since I'm still in like the cardio condition, obviously, like I can run 26 miles from a wind standpoint. I won't have to do like, at least I'm hoping I don't need to do like a full build. So we can maybe get back on the horse for something in a couple of months. I just got to look around and see what's out there. You know,
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to you crossing the marathon finish line, conquering the foe that is the marathon. I did my one. That was my David versus Goliath moment. I'll never do another one. Thank you very much. Speaking of back on the horse, that we are. Back-to-back winning weeks, baby. Back-to-back winning weeks. We're starting to feel good. Got a few units back in the green on Saturday. A couple Bellator hits, a couple UFC hits, a couple boxing hits. Feeling nice. How did we do, my friend?
Finished up exactly one unit. Oh, it's
that's one unit
win
closer
is a
to
win.
The green, baby. That's one
huge fan.
I was thinking
mix.
Of you. I was thinking of you when Gervonta Davis landed that body shot. I was like 7-12 plus 220.
That was it. That was I was behind until then, and I was watching that on my phone because Saturday night post race I was coming back from dinner with my family, and I was in the back seat, and so I pulled that up on my phone to watch it, and I was like, all right, now we're getting into the good rounds. Time, like the early when he dropped him early, I was like, oh my goodness,
dude. I had the over 5.5 alt line. I was shocked at how much I had to sweat that. I was like, Tank will start slow. Ryan will like pour it on a little bit, but he won't have that much success. You know, we'll breeze to the 5.5. It was like one of those, like, all right, guys, just 1.5 minutes left. We got this. Like, we just got to get there. And it barely got there. It like barely got there.
Yeah. So much more stressful than I would have thought. But then as soon as we got into the later rounds, like, okay, now's the time. Let's see it happen. And I didn't even see the body shot happen. Like, it just.
Neither did I.
Certainly didn't catch into like the third replay when I was like, oh, he really popped him in the liver. But that was a big win. Couple of big payoffs. Patchy Mix.
Doing
the Lord's works.
The Lord's work, man. I got him at a nice number. And I'm not going to lie, talk about not seeing the body shot happen. I was out at a bar, and they obviously didn't have Bellator on TV. Though I credit to this bar, they did have UFC and they did have the boxing fight, which was great. But I had Patchy Mix on my phone, and someone said something to me as the knockout happened, and I turned and said something to him, turned back, Patchy Mix is celebrating. I'm like, oh my God, what happened? Like, a knockout that early was one of the last things I was expecting.
Yeah, it did not see that one coming at all, but it was just all, it was all good, man. It was a up and down weekend as far as overall bets, but the profit is the profit, baby. And
you know what I did?
We keep rolling on.
Last week I was like, I'm not doubling up. I'm not taking a money line and an over under. I did that. And what did it do? I lost both sides. I had Brad Tavares, and then I also had the over 1.5, lost both of them. Like, it's a lesson that just like the gambling gods try to teach it to me every week. They're like, stop doubling up on money line and over unders. Just take one, like just choose one. You're going to learn eventually. We're just going to make you miss both until you learn the lesson. So, another attempt at a lesson learned.
Hey, I'm with you because I said that we should stop doing this. And yet this week, I'm doubling up on a bunch of these
fights. Oh, baby.
So we're going to have some fun for this card that is otherwise not that interesting.
Lacks a lot of interest. I will certainly say that. Beyond the main event, it's
main event's
a tough
good quality fight. Make no mistake about that. But tough hang elsewhere on this.
Let's get into it. UFC Vegas 72, UFC Apex 72. We are back in the friendly confines of the UFC Apex. No fans allowed unless you're paying heavy VIP prices. We will start the main event.
Don't want them. Don't want fans. Fans
don't need them. Don't need them. It makes it so much less cool when there are fans in attendance. Main event, pushed from the co-main last week. Bantamweight bout, Song Yadong taking on Ricky Simone right now. Looked like it was going Ricky Simone way. Now it's coming back. Song Yadong. I mean, it's basically a pick 'em at this point. Ricky Simone minus 120. Song Yadong plus 100. Over under set at 4.5. Under minus 140. Over plus 110. How do we feel on this main event?
Well, I will say that that line changed as you were speaking. I've got Ricky Simone at minus 115. Yes. Yeah. Literally,
yes,
as you
I'm
were
just
saying,
now saying
the number changed.
I mean, maybe DraftKings is listening in and they heard that, like, maybe I'm leaning Simone by the inflection of my tone. They were like, got to change the line.
That's you know, they're just getting ahead. I am leaning Ricky Simone in this. So I got him at the price of minus 120. A bit surprised to see the action has been coming in on Song as consistently as it has. As that number, I really felt that Ricky would be the one who would be getting pushed here. But I just like him in this fight. I think this fight's going to be incredibly fun. I won't be super shocked if Song can win this just because he's super young. He's getting better all the time. But for me, I think Ricky Simone is kind of hitting his career peak right now. He's got the wrestling advantage. That's going to be huge for him here. Song Yadong is a good defensive wrestler, but Ricky Simone is so explosive, so athletic. That athleticism is thing I say all the time. Athleticism is cheat code in this sport. Go watch Ricky Simone fight Jack Shore. Jack Shore, who is a good fighter, looks like he is playing a different sport in there. Ricky Simone is moving at 1.5x speed compared to him, and he simply can't keep up. I think Song Yadong is a bit better of an athlete, but I still think the wrestling, the pace that Ricky Simone is going to put on him with that grappling is going to be enough to win over five rounds. But I'm interested to see what five rounds looks like for these guys. You know, I mean, dude, we haven't seen it. I know Song was set to go five against Corey Sandhagen, but obviously didn't quite make that. But be interested to see how that looks. I think Song has some five-round experience in his pre-UFC days, but, you know, maybe this fight gets into the deeper waters. Boys get tired, could be different. But I'm back in Ricky Simone straight. And also, the first of my double-ups, I'm taking a half-unit wager on Simone by decision. Just because Song Yadong's super durable. He's been stopped twice in his career, once at featherweight. The other one, the aforementioned Corey Sandhagen, which was a doctor stoppage. He was ready to go out there and just keep doing the damn thing. Ricky Simone, half of his career wins are by decision. I think this probably does go late, go to the card. So I'm taking a half unit shot on Simone by decision at plus 240.
I love that you said that. First things first, the Ricky Simone Jack Shore fight, I was in attendance in person for that, and it was like astonishing. I was dumbfounded at how good Ricky Simone looked in that fight.
Unbelievable.
At one point, he like body slams Jack Shore, like fully picks him up and body slams him, and like they have the canvas mic'd, and it just echoed through the whole stadium. And at that moment, I was like, I'm probably going to lose this bet. Like, I bet on Jack Shore. I was like, this is not look good. Ricky Simone is kind of just doing what he wants to. I lean Ricky Simone, but what I'm going to do is not double up. I am going to try and stay away from doubling up. You mentioned that you think this fight is going to go long. I actually agree with that. Over 2.5, I grabbed it at minus 150. Still there at a few books. I get that they have finishing abilities, Song Yadong, especially with that knockout power. Does a quick aside, does it worry you at all that the one time that Ricky Simon got sent to the shadow realm by Uriah Faber. Uriah Faber coaches Song Yadong, training partners.
Look, I don't feel, it's not something I'm like, oh, I don't have to think about that at all. But that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Also just an incredibly odd outcome, because it's not like Uriah Faber has ever been known as a massive one-shot artist. He was already on the downslope in some ways.
Yeah, thank you. Like,
kind of feels like an anomaly.
Yes, like Ricky Simon got caught there. Like this, any sort of narrative that he might be chinny to me is kind of crazy. Like he is tough as hell. Like, and you mentioned it. These guys have 50 pro fights combined between them. They've only ever been finished 4 times. Like that's 8% of the fights that they end up getting finished. And most of the times they end up winning. Don't love the actual statistics behind it. 13 of their 22 UFC fights have gone over the 2.5, which like isn't like the greatest number in the world. But I think at this level of competition, how tough these dudes are, how durable they are, I think it's going to get over 2.5. I think it's going to be super competitive. I think it'll be back and forth. I think Ricky's going to have moments with the wrestling. I think Song's going to have moments on the feet. I do lean Ricky to get it done. I think both these dudes have like very good cardio. I think the 5 rounds, you know, I think it's tough to choose a side on who benefits who there. But I think it's going to be a fantastic fight. I think both these dudes have championship potential in them.
I mean, for sure. Song's so young.
25.
He's like, what, 25?
Years
yeah,
old.
He's nothing. Ricky Simon, a little older. If he's going to make a run, he's got to make it now. I do think he has the talent and potential to fight for a title, but it's bantamweight. Anything can happen. He can get caught again in this fight or by any of the other dudes in the Shark Tank. So If I'm saying who do I think is more likely to fight for a title one day, it's Song, because he's so young and he's so talented already. But both of these guys have a world of ability. And so this is a great fight. I'm really excited for it. This is the fight that should be the main event. I'm glad we're getting 5 rounds, even on the short notice push here. Very excited about this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fantastic one. I have no worries of either of these guys not being in any sort of shape to take 5 rounds. These guys, consummate professionals, seems like they, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. So I'm leaning Simone, you're betting Simone. We both like it to go a little bit longer, and that is the main event at UFC.
I may take, obviously we're doing this on Tuesday, so we don't have the DK like over 1.5, the Seaberg special.
I may try and cook up
some sort of a parlay with the over 1.5 in this, because looks like it's going to be at around minus 270 based on some of the other places with that in play.
All right. So if you change from like how I said, 13 of their 22 UFC fights have gone over the 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
If you change it to the 1.5, you are going to add it, instead of 13, it becomes not that different, actually. It just becomes 15.
Oh.
Yeah. I actually thought I was about to drop some crazy knowledge there.
I was excited.
Yeah.
I was like,
I really thought I was about to drop some crazy knowledge there. Yeah, it only becomes 15. Yeah, they have quite a few first round finishes between them, though. I would be very surprised. 3 first round finishes between them. I would be surprised if that's when this one ended.
Well, I think I'm going to cook up a Seaburks parlay special as we go here, certainly as the lines drop for DK. But for the time being, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on to the co-main event of the evening. Caio Barajo taking on Mikhail Oleksychuk.
They call him co-main event Caio Barajo, Connor Burks.
That's what they call him. Did you see him tweeting at Ricky Simon and Song Yadong, being like, jokingly, but he's just like, you guys took my main event spot. It was like, you would never.
Yes. No, this is
a little bit longer.
Live. This is who you are.
How many co-main events does he have?
This is his third in 4 UFC fights. That's right. 4 UFC fights, 3 of them will be co-mains.
You got to love it. You got to love it. And the only time that he wasn't is when he was on 280. Like, I mean, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think like this is a pretty good matchup for him as well. Like, if he can avoid the power, like if you watch Oleksychuk dude is just throwing caution to the wind. Go back and watch his Sam Alvey fight. I don't know if it was because he was fighting Sam Alvey, but he was just like, you're going out, dude. Like, you're not going to stand and trade with me. I'm putting you out. He was throwing the biggest shots I have ever seen in my life. Just like the most telegraphed, like fully bringing his arm, like throwing everything into it. If Gaio can avoid that power, he's going to be able to get him to the ground, and he's going to be able to rack up big time control time. Mikhail, 43% takedown defense, 3 of his 5 losses by submission. His weakness is Kyle's strength. Now here's the question, because I do think Brawlo gets it done. Does he get it done racking up 12 minutes of control time and like going for like 18 submission attempts and not getting it? Or does he actually get the sub? I feel like every time he fights, I bet on him by sub and I always lose. And it's like only plus 125 this week. So like I couldn't get around to that. But I think Brawlo wins here.
So I'm with you. I feel like, honestly, I'm about to talk out of both sides of my mouth here because I'm an idiot.
Sure, sure.
I actually feel like these odds are maybe a little wide for Brawlo just because Oleg Sajic has looked pretty good since coming down to 185, you know, and Brawlo is still a bit untested. I do think the style matchup, like you said, massively favors him. I mean, Oleg Sajic is not a great takedown defender. Brawlo, a very good grappler. Plus, as we mentioned, is a co-main event. This man cannot be defeated in the co-main events. So a lot of that really builds for him. Also, you know, I love gimmicks. He's been dominating Eastern European fighters, you know, Russia, Armenia, Uzbekistan, his 3 wins. Now he's getting Poland in there. Well, he's just moving his way across the continent in dominance. That's what Kyle Brawlo is doing. I'm picking him to win and putting him in a parlay. I want to talk about that parlay when I get to the second leg, because I have a very specific parlay about him. But I am also going to take a half unit shot on the buy sub prop this time. I wish the price was a little better, like you said, because again, it feels like he should be getting more submissions than he is. Instead, he's racking up control time, but he is a very good grappler. He is going to get those takedowns. Oleg Sajic has been submitted in 3 of his 5 losses. And more importantly, Oleg Sajic, not a bad grappler, but like you said, he's a guy who's throwing out offense. He is going to be scrambling, trying to make things happen. That, to me, feels like it's going to open up the opportunity for Brawlo to finally get his first submission. Maybe he's a little pissed off that his main event got taken from him. He takes it out on Mikhail Oleg Sajic, finally gets that finish and can become main event Kyle Brawlo. But I'm going to take a half unit shot on the sub prop.
So I just want to add a little something to this. You said 3 co-main events in UFC. Mm-hmm. Before he got to the UFC, he was in 4 more co-main events.
He's so co-main event Kyle.
In 14 fights, 7 of them have been co-main events. Bad news is he did lose one. The first time he was in the co-main event, he lost.
Was that Wojciech?
Carvalho.
Oh, okay.
His only loss was actually in a co-main event. I wish he was 7-0 in co-main events.
Oh, that's his second fight, though. That's
fine. One was also a no contest. I'm just going to assume he won that one, and, you know, they tried to do our guy co-main wrong there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, CMC, as we call him, co-main Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come through for us. Plus 120 on the sub prop. Like, the guy only has 3 submission wins.
Yeah, but he is a good grappler. So
yeah, I agree. But like, plus 120. All right, so Pete Rodriguez is off the card now. Mm-hmm. I bet Pete Rodriguez by KO, because he literally only ever wins by KO if he wins. And that was plus 500. Like, it's just like, you got to give me like a big gap there, like minus 120. Come on, man. Or plus 120, I'm sorry.
Yes, but it's also, he's a minus 350 or whatever. So you're getting the gap there, even though I think that's not I'm not saying that it's a good bet. I just kind of vibed this one. I was like, I think he's going to tap him. Let's go for it.
I mean, if I'm being totally honest, if I was picking a winner and a method, I would also be going with, he's probably going to tap him out. Oleg Sajic KO plus 525.
That's not bad.
I mean, Oleg Sajic is over plus 300 on a few books.
See, if I saw him at 300, I might have been talked out of my idiot gimmick parlay, which Kyle Brawlo is a centerpiece of. Because plus 300 feels viable, but also, I mean, plus five, whatever you said, 50, 525. Not bad. The over-under on this fight is like 1.5, and it's like close to even money. So the Vegas believes there's a finish coming. Obviously, it believes more that Braulio is getting the sub, but
I'm saying 2.5 minus 165.
Oh, so they moved it, because earlier today the over under was 1.5, and it was like plus 120 on the under or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm seeing on some books plus 105 on the under. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe there will be a finish in this one. Co-main Kyle, I think he gets it done though. I will also be parlaying him up.
Okay, love that. Love that energy.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Yeah, and I'll tell you who I'm parlaying him with. And then I have one more parlay leg that I need a second. I need a hand-in-hand to go with that I'm hoping you can give to me at some point.
You don't want the Seaberg special, the Simone song over 1.5?
I know. I thought about that, but then I'm going over 1.5 and over 2.5. So if there's a finish in the first 7.5 minutes, I'm sitting there holding my head.
Look at you trying to be a responsible young man. I appreciate
trying
that.
Trying to. I mean, that Tavares loss, I was just like, wow, if I had just not made one of those bets, I would feel a lot better right now.
I didn't watch almost any of the fight night last week live because I was at dinner with my family. So I got to see the Wells Simmelsberger, and then I went off to dinner. And so I missed it all and came back, was like, this can't be real. Brad Tavares, this was supposed to be a lock. I felt so good about this one.
Here's what I'll say. If you didn't stop the Jeremiah Wells fight, you shouldn't have stopped the Brad Tavares one. That is my firm thoughts on that. Like, Jeremiah Wells was flash KO'd, did not know where he was like desperately trying to figure it out, and then like got his bearings. Brad Tavares, like, got knocked down and was immediately trying to scramble and get back up, and they called it. Like, also the first fight of the night, Brady Highstand, like, if you're going to call that fight, like, you also should have called the Semmelsberger one. Like, there was some of those stoppages were dicey last week. I wish they had just stayed consistent with them.
There was a lot of fun going on last week. But yeah, where are we at for, I believe we're leading into trying to keep us moving for time.
Soon. Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's keep
Adolfo
it rolling.
Vieira, Cody Brundage. It sounds like you're parlaying up Mr. Vieira with Kyle Braulio. Is that true?
Not Vieira, the under 2.5 -275. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was going to take fight doesn't go to a decision, but it was like -375. And for 2.5 minutes, I can drop it by almost 100 points. I'm going to do that, especially when almost all of their wins or losses, Brundage, 9 of his 11 fights under the 2.5, 7 first round finishes, Vieira, 8 of his 10 fights under the 2.5, 5 ending in the first round. I think Vieira chokes him out in the first round, or Vieira gasses out and Brundage finishes him. I like the under here.
I don't hate it. I can't figure out. I sort of feel like I want to be betting Vieira in a parlay, but then I'm just not all the way sold on it because the gassing could be a thing. I mean, Cody Brundage is not a very good striker. Vieira is not good, but he's competent. Like he's very rote, very mechanical, but he at least knows somewhat what to do. He's obviously got major grappling advantage. Cody Brundage relies so much on his wrestling. Can he do that? Or is he forced to just wrestle in reverse? And even if so, is that a good look for him in this fight? Just so many variables I don't feel confident in that I don't have any action down for this fight, but I'm leaning Vieira to get the win. I don't really feel like I have a great read here.
Yeah. In terms of a side, I really don't know who it was. I mean, there was one point where Vieira was like -300. I had no interest at that point.
Yeah. So it's very pricey, particularly when you know there's a possibility that he gasses out within 6 minutes.
That he gasses out, and like Cody Brundage is an opportunistic fighter. Like he will, in my opinion, capitalize on that.
But if Zever goes to the floor, he's in such a war. Like Oleg Sejchuk reversed Brundage and bashed his brains in. So if this hits the mat at all, Vieira really has a great chance to get him out of there. It's just a tough one for me to feel great about either side.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you want me to be honest? I think it's going to hit the mat, and I think Vieira is probably going to finish him. I mean, like, I know he went 0-for against Chris Curtis, but Chris Curtis has insane takedown defense.
Really good at defending takedowns.
Like, I mean, in every one of his fights prior to that, he landed a takedown. I mean, the Stolfus fight, 3 takedowns. The Hernandez fight, 4 takedowns. The Safarov fight, 2 takedowns. The Oscar Picota fight, 3 takedowns. Like, I think he's going to be able to get this to the mat. And like you said, Brundage relies on that wrestling, dude. He averages over 3 takedowns per 15 minutes. Like, I think it's going to go to the mat, and I think Vieira is going to get him out of there.
I think that's where I'm at, but not enough to bet on it. So no bet for me. And you're on the under for your parlay.
Under for the parlay, under 2.5, alt under. Let's keep it rolling. Featherweight bout, Julian Arosa taking on Fernando Padilla. Right now you can have Juicy J for -150, Padilla coming back +130. Any thoughts on this one? I am like you with the last one. I have no action here. Julian Arosa, kind of like my kryptonite, I guess, these last few fights. I was on Dawodu when he fought him. He just pieced him up. Then I was on him against Caceres. He lost that in the first round. Don't really know what to make of him. He's going against the debutant. I just stayed away.
He's a tough guy to know what to do with because when I was doing the research, I realized he has only been a favorite twice. He has 11 UFC bouts, and he has been the underdog in 9 of them. And wow. So he is paying off money for him. If you are banking on him every time, because
what's his record
winning
as a
bunch of fights. As a favorite, I have no idea. I don't remember.
I know he's at least 0-1.
I think he's 1-1 as a favorite. I think he's 1-1 as a favorite. Which means, 9 fights. He's got several underdog wins. He's paying money for you if you're betting him as an underdog. He is a favorite in this fight. And Padilla, young kid making his debut. Young Mexican kid making his debut. Is he the next Daniel Zellhuber? Who can say? We both ate one on the Zellhuber thing, And so I said, I'm going to let the fates decide. I'm going to let the decide. It is this week's ChatGPT bet. A quick recap. Last week, ChatGPT delivered. We got the win with Norma Dumont. Didn't totally have the right read on that fight. I got a little confused. There was a late surge by one fighter in the third round, a knockdown, just the wrong fighter, but we still cashed the Norma Dumont ticket. ChatGPT experiment, 2-2. We're down a third of a unit. So we win this one. We get in the black. ChatGPT has a definitive side in this one, Connor. As the round progressed, Padilla managed to close the distance and secure a takedown. Arosa's quick to scramble to his feet. Padilla's relentless in his pursuit of the takedown. The two fighters trade positions on the ground with Arosa showing off submission defense. Padilla was determined to impose his will. In the second round began much like the first, with Arosa using his range to keep Padilla at bay. However, Padilla was not discouraged, continued to press forward, looking for an opening. As the round went on, Arosa began to tire, and Padilla saw his chance with a lightning-fast combination. Padilla caught Arosa off guard, landed a devastating blow that sent Arosa crashing to the canvas. Padilla pounced on his opponent, raining down punches until the referee stepped in to stop the fight. And so this week, the ChatGPT bet is Fernando Padilla plus 130 as an underdog, and I'm also taking just a little baby sprinkle on Padilla by round two TKO just to see if we can hit one of those.
All right.
That's at plus 1,000, by the way.
Wow. Round two KO.
Round two KO, plus 1,000, just a little tenth of a nothing bet on it. And then, you know, Padilla, straight underdog, plus 130.
I love it. ChatGPT has been good to you so far. I'm waiting for it to get the exact.
Anybody can pick a fight winner. That'll be the best day.
You're either one side or you're either the right side or you're the wrong side. I need it to get the exact.
It's on me. I still have to figure out the right inputs to get the AI to deliver. So we're going to continue tweaking. We're going to at least do 10 of these. We got to at least get to 10.
Yeah,
have a real sample size to know what we're doing. But yeah, very excited. You know what else I'm excited about, Connor?
What's that?
This is an event for your boy.
Yeah.
Because we've got the ChatGPT. Oh, wait, what's the next fight order?
Cortez Acosta, Marcos Rogério de Lima, and then Martin Boudet.
This section is where your boy is cooking, because up next we've got not one, but two, count them, two heavyweight bouts, Connor Burks. I'm so excited.
All right, let's kick it off. Waldo Cortez Acosta taking on Marcos Rogério de Lima. Is this the most names in a UFC bout?
It's a lot of names in UFC history.
A lot of names going on. Right now, Marcos Rogério de Lima, minus 165, I believe, minus 180. And Waldo Cortez Acosta coming back, plus 155. Seems like a lot of people are on Marcos Rogério de Lima this week. 37 years old. I don't know. This card is, there's a number of stay away spots for me. If you want me to be totally honest, what I really looked at was Salsa Boy Waldo Cortez Acosta by decision plus 450. De Lima really only ever wins decisions. De Lima really only ever gets subbed. He's only been knocked out once. I don't see Cortez Acosta finishing him here. That if I was going to do anything, that's what I would do. We're quickly approaching Marcos Rogério de Lima minus 200.
That feels somewhat insane for Marcos Rogério de Lima to be that big of a favorite. I didn't even look at it, but I don't hate that a sprinkle on the Salsa Boy by decision. That's a pretty good price. Maybe I'll throw in a quarter unit on it just to have fun, because you know what I'm doing, Connor. It's a heavyweight bout, but I've got questions, because I don't have a bet on this fight at this moment. I will be taking the over. Currently the over 2.5 is at minus 145. I'm going to say that again in case you didn't hear it. The over 2.5 is minus 145. Marcos Rogério de Lima has
for this fight. For this fight, it's minus 145?
That is I'm sorry. It might be over 1.5.
I think it's over 1.5.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, it is. It is over 1.5. Sorry. But in 15 UFC fights, Marcos Rogério de Lima has only gone over 1.5 three times.
Wow.
This man, look, on the other side, Waldo Cortez Acosta, he is the heavyweight over king. We stan our salsa boy guy. He is always not fighting for our money. Rogério de Lima, this man gets the business done quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I did not know that. 12 of his 15 UFC fights under 1.5.
Under 1.5 in 12 of his 15 UFC
Christ.
Fights.
Christ. Kill or be killed.
It's a very, very concerning number. And so I wanted to talk to you about this, about not really the next fight so much, though, maybe, but really it's this fight and our other issue, you know, flyweight unders, because I'm going to get ahead of ourselves a little bit. Cody Durden, Charles Johnson. So flyweight fight, the under 2.5.
It's a nightmare. Flyweight under fight. You want me to just be totally honest? It's a nightmare.
Because this is my question, Connor, because that's a nightmare. I pulled the stats, right? I went and looked back. Heavyweight overs, successful bet this year. 6-5, up a unit right now. Flyweight unders, they're just the best bet in sports. 9-5, up almost 5 units if you're just betting 1 unit on each of them. That does even better if we take out... was it the Ode Osborne fight where he missed weight?
Charles Johnson and Ode Osborne missed weight. Road to UFC.
If you're not counting that because they weren't official flyweight bouts,
we do have to count
it
though, because we did
get
more.
The bet in. So I have it calculated and I'm just throwing it out there for the listeners. But I needed to talk to you about that fight, because this Durden Johnson fight, are we committed to the flyweight unders on it?
Yeah, I'm not going to quit now. I took a plus 185, threw a half unit on it, or 0.55 just to get a unit back. This is when true flyweight unders, the believers in the gospel, the faith gets tested. This is the week that the faith gets tested. Cody Durden, half his fights ended in the first round. Charles Johnson has a first round finish, albeit over Jimmy Flick. 10 fights in the UFC for them, 4 have ended in the first round. Like, it's possible. How do I see this fight going down? Cody Durden wrestles, has some success. Charles Johnson finds his way back up. They throw on the feet. There really isn't much power getting thrown around. Round one ends, round two ends. Rinse, repeat. Decision, 29-28, Johnson, 29-28, Durden, 29-28, fear winner by split decision, flip your coin and decide.
Yeah. So that's exactly how I feel. And as I was looking this over, I was like, well, you know, we had talked about Muhammad Makhachev just being enemy of the state, and maybe he is exempt from it. I didn't really know the rules we're going at. I am a true believer. I'm right here with you. I'm riding the under 2.5 Durden Johnson then. But if we were going to say we're going to take this one off, then I also would take the heavyweight over on Rogério de Lima, Waldo Cortez Acosta.
Yeah, that's a jarring stat. I'm definitely not taking Waldo Cortez Acosta by decision anymore.
It's very jarring. It's very, very jarring. I will still be sticking with it, staying true to it, because it's the most electric bet in sports. And that's what we'll be going. So I am on the over 1.5 here at -145.
Boudet Collier, how you feeling?
I'm also taking the over. This one is the 2.5. My notes were conflating the two fights. It's over 2.5. Collier's hit over 2.5 in 6 of his 12 UFC bouts. Boudet is...
That's actually such a beautiful stat that it's 6 of the 12, because I was just about to say, you just have like Jay Collier is either looking to get out of there in the first round, make it a quick night at the office, or he's down to just throw shots out there for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Fortunately against Marvin Boudet, not entirely sure that that's how this will go. He's 1-2 on the over, but one of those was the Chris Barnett technical decision that they stopped the fight early because of an illegal blow. So taking the over, feel much better about over 2.5, a much more interesting and fun heavyweight over here. It's at minus 135. But I also have one more bet on this one, Connor.
Tell me.
I mentioned earlier that I have a dumb parlay, an idiot parlay, and it's this one, because Martin Boudet, this man, The last time this man fought, not the last time, two times before, he fought Chris Barnett. He fought Chris Barnett at some fight night in Vegas in 2022.
I remember
which one it is.
Oh, I remember.
I remember this event because something that I think has never happened before happened and may never happen again. We got two technical decisions on the one fight, on the one fight card.
Wow.
Warren Boudet gets a technical decision against Chris Barnett. Fight gets stopped in the third round due to an illegal blow, wins the decision. Later on that evening, Conor.
Yes.
In the co-main event of that evening, Caio Borralho also wins a technical decision after a foul on Omar Gadziev results in the bout being stopped, going to the cards. Caio Borralho wins a tech decision there. Those two men won tech decisions on the same card, and now they're fighting on the same card again. You know I love a gimmick parlay. There's no way I'm not parlaying them together. So I've parlayed Borralho and Boudet together for the Cheaters Win Technical Decisions Parlay. Pays out a plus 151. I'm so excited about it.
Wow. The Cheaters Win Technical Decisions. So you are drawing the line in the sand. You are confirming they are cheaters.
I mean, they committed fouls that did not get punished and were, in fact, they were directly benefited from.
Man, what a flashback. I'm looking at the card right now. It's been a year. This was an Andre Fialho was just the talk of the town. Like this was when Fialho went like, you know, toe to toe, hung tough with Michelle Pereira and then beat Cameron Van Camp and Miguel Baeza. Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Sport can change fast.
Back when we believed in the man. And a super weird card, but in
Luque
both
Muhammad,
instances,
I definitely lost on the main event
by betting
against Bilal Muhammad. I'm sure I'll do the same next week for UFC 288. That was kind of the heavyweights wrapped in a bow, and also the flyweight bout between Charles Johnson and Cody Durden. I mentioned though how I kind of thought this fight was going to go, and for that reason. Took a little point spread action. Cody Durden +3.5 points, -150.
Okay.
Charles Johnson would have only covered that once in his UFC career. Matter of fact, 8 career decisions, 4 of them are via split. Notorious close fighter. And I imagine that this one is going to be close as well. I am confident Cody Durden can win one round, clearly to the judges.
Boom. What do we have for a fight wins by split decision number? I love the 8. I love the 4 and 8. That is that's a good stat.
The way I see it is right this now. Goes to a decision and Cody Durden covers that number and I win a little bit one of them gets a finish and I also win a little bit. So I'm trying to find a win-win here. It's almost like a hedge against the flyweight under, though. The flyweight under is going to hit.
Don't hate the bet. I made
Durden finish would be sick.
Split decision.
Durden.
I mean,
Durden finish would be sick.
That would be that's threading the needle perfectly for all of us.
Atlanta, fighting out of Atlanta. Got to support our Atlanta guys.
Gotta support our boys.
All right, that's that. We keep it rolling as we are in hot pursuit of the. Shortest No Bets Barred episode ever. 4 fights to go. I don't know if we're going to make it. Next up, welterweight bout. Short notice, Josh Quinlan taking on Trey Waters. Trey Waters currently the welterweight champion in LFA. He grabbed that title just 2 weeks ago. Not available at all the books right now, but Josh Quinlan -180. Trey Waters coming back +155. I went back and watched the Trey Waters. I mean, it was a viral knockout. I saw it when it happened. I mean, it was literally 11 days ago at this point as of recording. Now he's on 1 week short notice. He was definitely losing that fight to Jalen Fuller just out of sheer inactivity. He really wasn't doing much. I mean, he was just kind of fighting with his hands in his pockets. Got hit a decent amount, got rocked bad at one point, but obviously does get the knockout win. Went back and watched the Contender Series fight. Much more active in that one, obviously against Gabriel Bonfim, who we now know is a beast. Still, though, like he gets hit, and he's going up against the Juice Man himself. in Josh Quinlan. And another thing is, he's taking this on 1 week's notice after just fighting 2 weeks ago, swelling of the eye, black eye, everything like that. He is also gigantic for 170. It's astounding that he even makes it down to welterweight. He's 6'5", fighting at welterweight. The fact that he's going to have to cut two times over the course of 3 weeks, he's getting this on super short notice against what I'm going to assume is going to be a fresh Josh Quinlan. I think someone's going out for sure. Like, both these guys carry a ton of power. Neither of them really ever goes to a decision. I think Josh Quinlan gets this done.
I have no thoughts on this fight whatsoever, so I hope you do well.
Josh Quinlan it is. Waiting for the Inside the Distance. Take a peek at that. Hopefully can get a plus money sign next to that. That would be tremendous. Tough ass for Dre Waters here. Let's keep it rolling. Women's bantamweight bout. We got two. We get a flyweight bout, two heavyweight bouts, and two women's bantamweight bouts. I mean, pinch me, I must be dreaming.
This is designed to be the worst card in history. Two women's bantamweight bouts and two heavyweight bouts.
Stephanie Egger takes on Irina Alexeva. Right now, you can have Stephanie Egger for minus 305.
That's a lot.
Alexeva plus 255. I am not playing it straight. I took Stephanie Egger Inside the Distance here at plus 150. I mean, Irina Alexeva has fought one time in the last 3 years.
I'm sorry. Call her by her true name, Ronda.
Russian Ronda. Fantastic nickname all time. Russian Ronda sitting at 4-1. And like, just her career path, she beat three sub 500 featherweights, women's featherweights on the local Russian scene. Then she goes and fights an 8-6 flyweight.
I need you to say the best part of one of those wins. Tapology has it recorded as a win by refusal to fight.
Yeah. Three minutes and 23 seconds into the first round. Refusal to fight. 0-0. She finished 0-2 in her career. I mean, she's fighting cans. The first three fights of her career were absolute cans. Then she goes and takes on a flyweight in December of 2019. And she loses. She loses to an 8-6 flyweight, Lilia Kazakh. And I went back. I did the work so you don't have to. And I watched all 15 minutes of that fight. And she was in some bad positions throughout that.
It's a tough watch.
At the end of the first round, actually throughout the first round, she gets flattened out like two or three times. And then at the end of the first round, like, there is a rear naked choke sunk in body triangle. I really don't know how she survived it for like 25 seconds. But alas, she did survive it, still lost. And yeah, just didn't look great to a woman much smaller than her. Stephanie Egger fighting at her natural weight class. Seven of Egger's eight wins in her career, all of her UFC wins are by finish. She comes out looking for finishes. I think this is going to be a levels fight. Like, it's weird matchmaking. I don't really understand it. Alexeva has fought one time in the last 3 years in Bellator against like a 7-5 fighter. And
did you watch that fight? It was bad too.
It was so...
I'm not even sure she should have won.
I'm not sure she should have won, but I'm praying that this bet hits because those 15 minutes were unbelievably boring.
Yeah, it's Godspeed for you for this bet. Does it concern you at all that this is Arena's second Stephanie in a row? I mean, she fought Stephanie Page in Bellator, got the W.
I like where your head's
at. Maybe she's the Stephanie killer.
Yeah, I like where your head's at with that. But no, I really think this is a fight. Even everyone saying like how big of a number this is for Stephanie Egger, I am under the belief, maybe I'm wrong, Russian Ronda could prove me dead wrong here. I think this is one that we're looking back next week and we're just like, yeah, why did they make that fight? Like, that just was weird.
I'm going to pick Stephanie Egger. I'm not going to bet her because there is, I don't think this will happen, but it is. Stephanie Egger got tapped by Mayra Buena Silva, which remains like the weirdest thing that's ever happened in women's MMA to me out of nowhere. And so this, I can't trust her, and I will feel if I'm holding a Stephanie Egger parlay piece ticket and she's the parlay wrecker, I will feel so stupid on Sunday morning. I just can't do that to myself. But
does have quite a few submissions on her record.
I know, but Stephanie Egger like grappled Gabby Garcia and didn't get finished. My Buena Silva
taps it was weird.
Off
it was
her
weird.
Back with like a white belt armbar. It was insane.
I will say, I'm not playing Stephanie Egger straight. Taking the plus 150. I think she gets it done here.
I think that's certainly a better bet than putting her as a parlay piece. I just decided I'm good. I don't need the action. So good luck, sir.
Thank you, sir. Next up, Brian Kelleher taking on Journey Newson. You talked about Juicy J always being an underdog in betting situations. I don't have the exact numbers, but Brian Kelleher, majority of the time in his UFC career, has been the underdog, though he does win as a favorite. Either way, I just have no interest in betting this fight. Like, I how can I trust Journey Newson with my money? How can I trust Brian Kelleher at chalk odds? I just passed. That's just a lot of passes for me on this card.
I see a lot of passes for you today. Bear with me just one moment, and I may end up editing this out because you asked a very important question. And I want to make sure that, because I have something written down, I want to make sure that I'm right, is right. So you just asked a question. You said, how can I trust Brian Kelleher at chalk odds? What if I told you this? He's only ever lost
four
once.
Straight. Yeah, yeah.
What if, he's only ever lost that. Once as a favorite,
right.
And that
You're
was...
Right.
Just saying, it was to Marlon Chito Vera. Guy's pretty good. Yeah. I don't know if you know that about Chito. Pretty good guy.
Can we go back and like reminisce on the fact that Brian Keller was minus like 220 to Marlon Chito Vera?
Yeah, that was in hindsight, that looks a little odd. I got to tell you.
So tell me, are you on Brian Keller here?
I want to tell you one more statistical note that I took advantage of here because I am Brian Keller. I'm going to take him at minus 140.
Okay.
Journey Newsom has never beaten anyone with a win in the UFC. He has two wins in the UFC. One of them's no contest, but he won the fight, got overturned for something afterwards. Beat Domingo Pilarte. Domingo Pilarte, no victories inside the UFC. He's got a win over Fernie Garcia, also no victories inside the UFC. I'm not sure he's very good, Happy. So Brian Kelleher, he's getting a little older, but he's still a pretty solid all-around fighter. This is a major step back for him against the Mario Bautista, Umar Nurmagomedovs of the world. This is much more in the Domingo Pilarte, the Kevin Kroom zone. And the man wins as a favorite. I do not believe Journey Newson is the next Marlon Chito Vera, so I'm back in Kelleher. Minus 140. Let's go, boom.
I don't mind that. The more you talk, the more I don't mind that. Will I play it? I don't know.
You know, it's you're back on the winning track. No need to get out. No need to overexpose yourself to and potentially slow this momentum you're building.
Speaking of no need to overextend, let's get into the final fight. Another women's bantamweight bout, Haley Cowan taking on Jamie Lynn Horth. Right now, Jamie Lynn Horth continues to fall in odds, minus 140, minus 135. Opened at BetOnline at plus 175, has continued to drop. A lot of people on her. I'm looking at the Bet MMA tips page. A lot of people that are, according to this website, pretty sharp are on Jamie Lynn Horth here. I don't know if it's a fade of Haley Cowan, but heavy line movement for Jamie Lynn Horth. I am not 1,000% sure why. There's only two fights of tape that I could find on her. She's fought one time in the last 40 months over 3 years, coming off a massive knee injury. She's up a weight class. But also Haley Cowan, I mean, I don't want to trust my money with her. I mean, she can't even make it to the octagon these last few fights. Another one
of those wasn't her fault.
Another one where this is just a pass for me. Just a pass.
Yeah, all day. Not even coming close to touching this one.
If you have a bet, please tell me your edge. If you had a bet, I was going to be like, please tell me your edge.
I briefly considered doing a double women's bantamweight over parlay.
Ooh.
Because in general, women's bantamweight fights tend to hit overs. But I already have one dumb gimmick parlay. I didn't need two.
Okay, so I am going to take the Quinlan Waters fight does not go to a decision when that line comes out and parlay it with something else. I'm between Cowan Lynn Horth over 1.5, which is -370, and Simone Song over 1.5, -270. Keep in mind the double overexposure there.
I would take the Song, but I recognize that you're trying to limit your double exposure, so you just have to let the ancestors guide you on that one.
You said Song. I think I will end up taking that.
Because that's as we were going through, I've got that bet. I have that to be used in a parlay, and I couldn't find any other piece that I was really excited about. So I've decided, Connor, as we wrap things up, I'm going to parlay this with one other bet this weekend, and it's not even a fight related bet, because this weekend, Connor Burks, it's the NFL draft. I love the NFL draft. I have been aggressively consuming draft content. And while I'm going to end up making a ton of unreasonable wagers on the NFL draft, one of them that I actually totally love is total number of quarterbacks drafted in the first round. The over-under is at 4.5, and the over is -155. And good sir, I am going to be smashing that in the parlay with the over 1.5 that we've created for a +131 bet. We're getting 5 quarterbacks drafted. It's the NFL. Teams love to overvalue quarterbacks. Hendon Hooker is going to go to the Vikings. It's going to be fantastic. Unless you're a Vikings fan, then it's going to suck shit.
All right. There it is. Got a little draft talk in there as well.
Draft talk.
I'm surprised. Who are the Falcons taking? Anybody know?
It depends. There's possible Bijan Robinson, but they're too late and they're not going to move up. So we'll see how it falls. I would have loved, as we sign off, I would have loved to bet and or talk about betting the BKFC this weekend, but can't do that as far as I can see right now.
Yeah, so. I got no lines for it as well right now. I'm sure they're going to drop them like later in the week. They typically do. Who would you take, by the way? Any leans here you want to give out? Because I have no clue.
Oh, for sure. I want to see what the price is on Mike Perry. Because Luke Crockhold's not a good boxer anyway. He's going to have some size advantage, but Mike Perry's a dog. Mike Perry doesn't care at all. Mike Perry is going to come in and chuck him. I want to see what the price is, but I am very interested in betting Mike Perry this weekend if the number is good.
Chad Mendez, Eddie Alvarez to Ben Rothwell on the card. Fantastic.
The thing is, I don't really know how to bet that one, but just because I really have no idea how to even feel about that one. But yeah, give me for sure. Give me Mike Perry if that number is even sort of good.
Wow. 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 Look at this.
What do we got?
Must see TV tomorrow afternoon on the MMA hour, Wednesday, April 26th. Mike Perry, Luke Rockhold, face to face, live on the show.
Face to face. Look at, man, it's going to be electric. Oh my goodness. I see the opening guest tomorrow. I can't spoil
yes.
it here.
Yes,
I
mean, actually, don't spoil it.
Actually
I know who
can
it is.
Spoil it because this will not
yes,
be up.
You can.
The show will already be going, but the man himself.
Yeah, it was a big get. It was a big get. We were real excited to hear that. Once we got Salt Poppy confirmed, I mean, it's all downhill from here at this point. It doesn't get much better than that.
Leading the show off with him is a bold strategy. It's bold.
Yeah,
choice.
I'm about to deep dive on his socials, and really try and find out about the guy, see if we can get some crazy questions in there. I mean,
I love it. I love
man.
It.
The man.
Well, you get to work on that. I'll get to work on all the other stuff that's going
Sounds
on.
Sounds good. Clean, green, just under an hour. That's UFC Vegas 72, the card of the century. We're back next week. One championship, Canelo Alvarez, UFC 288. It actually doesn't get much better than that. See you next week.
Love y'all.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.